You are listening to an Emmanuel Community Church podcast. For more sermons or information about the church, visit our website at www.emmanuelcommunity.org.
A number of years ago, my wife and I decided we'd like to go visit every national park in the country. And there are 63 of them, so I broke them down into little groups, and we decided to do a few a year. Well, a couple years ago, we went down to Texas, and we did a couple parks in Texas, all the way down to Big Bend, which is very, very southern national park. In fact, right up against Mexico. Sorry, wrong end of the country. Right up against Mexico. And we are on our way. We go through Dallas and headed on down south, and dawns on me that we're going to go through Waco. Never been there, and Waco brings back bad memories for me. Probably for many of you as well, if you remember. We found the Branch Davidian compound just a little bit north of Waco. I had to ask around, but we found it, and we went and visited the site of this terrible tragedy when the Branch Davidians cult leader did some horrible things. If you don't remember, his name was Vernon Howell, but he took the name David Koresh. David because he believed he was in the line of King David. And Koresh is the Hebrew way to say Cyrus, King Cyrus. So this man thought he was in the line of kings, and he was nothing but a false teacher, an antichrist, so to speak. He led his people in a horrible direction through heresy. And in 1993, because of apparently issues with guns and so forth, the government stepped in. There was a 51-day standoff. Shooting began. A fire started. And 80 people, including a number of children, lost their lives. But that wasn't the end of it. 2 years later, two guys who you might remember, Terry Nichols and Timothy McVeigh, filled a truck with explosives. They were angry at what the government had done to the people in Waco. And so they filled this truck with explosives and parked it in front of the Oklahoma City Federal Building. They exploded it, you remember. 167 more people died. Hundreds and hundreds were wounded, lives changed, lives destroyed, all because of one false teacher. Tragic. But as tragic as it is, we can count the physical deaths. We just can't count over the years how many spiritual deaths, how many lives destroyed, how many churches destroyed because of false teachers within the body of Christ. So today, that's the topic that John comes to as he works his way through his letter to these people in and around Ephesus, southern Turkey. His topic today is that there are false teachers in the church body, and we are not to allow them to deceive us. They're dangerous. Take your Bibles, if you would please, your sermon notes, and join me in 1 John chapter 2. We're going to start with verse 18. And before we do, just a couple things I'd like to share. First of all, one of the joys that I have as a retired pastor is that I still get to teach Grow most every spring and fall. And so beginning this fall, on Thursdays, I didn't say it here, but August 27th is a Thursday. So every Thursday from August 27th to about Thanksgiving time, we'll meet from 11:45 a.m. to 1 p.m. So right over the lunch hour, if you're available, can get away for that hour and 15 minutes or so. Bring your sack lunch if you'd like to. We'll probably have snacks as well. But we'll start the New Testament, and you don't have to start in the Old or the New. You can start either place you'd like. But we'll take the four Gospels, and we'll understand the life of Christ through the four Gospels. If you have any interest in being a part of it, just go to our website, emmanuelcommunity.org, and then /studies, and you can sign up there or read more about it. Okay, now, as I said, there are a couple things I want to share before I get into today's text. One is this, it's on the back of your notes. I shared this with you some weeks ago, that John just keeps rotating around three themes. He gives us a theological test. Do you know who Jesus is? He gives us a moral test. Are you trying to live a holy life? He gives us a social test. Do you love each other? And you say yes to each of these, and he goes, let's do that again. And so he just goes round and round in his letter. In fact, today, we're at the theological test. Next week, it'll be the moral test. The week after next, the social test, and so forth. Round and round. I think it was Pastor Josh who came up with a brilliant idea, the illustration of a 3D printer. And that's what John is doing here. He just goes round and round, back over the same territory, because he's building us a message. So today, we are in that theological test. Now, before I even read today's text, let me take you to another text. You already know, we've talked about it, that John was living in Ephesus. A few weeks back, I showed you even his tomb, what we believe to be his tomb in Ephesus. So he lived in that town for quite a few years. What we sometimes forget is Paul. The Apostle Paul lived in the same town for 3 years, 40 years earlier. 40 years before, about 55 AD, Paul lives here, and he's leaving after his three-year stay, and he says these words. Listen to this. I know that after my departure, fierce wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. And from among your own selves will arise men speaking twisted things to draw away the disciples after them. Therefore, be alert, remembering that for 3 years I did not cease, night or day, to admonish every one of you with tears. Watch out, says Paul. They're coming. These false teachers are coming. Now I just jump 40 years. And I take you to 1 John chapter 2. 40 years later, John writes these words. Children, it is the last hour. And as you have heard that Antichrist or the Antichrist is coming, so now many Antichrists have come. Therefore, we know that it is the last hour. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would have continued with us. But they went out that it might become plain that they are not of us. But you have been anointed by the Holy One, and you all have knowledge. I write to you not because you do not know the truth, but because you know it, and because no lie is the truth. Who is the liar but he who denies that Jesus is the Christ? This is the Antichrist, he who denies the Father and the Son. No one who denies the Son has the Father. Whoever confesses the Son has the Father also. Let what you heard from the beginning abide in you. If what you heard from the beginning abides in you, then you too will abide in the Son and in the Father. And this is the promise that he made to us, eternal life. Now it closes with two verses to wrap it up. I write these things to you about those who are trying to deceive you, but the anointing that you receive from him abides in you, and you have no need that anyone should teach you. But as his anointing teaches you about everything and is true, is no lie, just as it has taught to you or has taught you, you should abide in him. Now, I know just reading it like that, it sounds circular, it sounds difficult, but we can unpack it because what it's showing us is a tension that's in that church and in every church. What's the tension? Now, this series, by the way, is called Living in the Tension. And each week we're going to talk about something that causes tension in the church body or maybe in your life. And this one is, beware, there are false teachers and there are fake believers in the church. They're in the church. Don't let them deceive you. That's bottom line. That's the tension. Now, what he does in this passage, and I'm going to break it down into three thoughts. I think he gives us three thoughts. Thought number one is this. The time is at hand. Remember how Paul said 40 years ago, it's coming? It's here. The time is at hand. Children, it is that hour, is what he's saying. How do you understand that? Well, first of all, the word children is different here. He uses the word children throughout this letter, as you know, we've talked about it. but he usually uses a different word, technion. It's a Greek word that would indicate your own children in your household. When you call your kids for lunch or down for dinner, you say, hey, kids, come on down. That might be the word you'd use. But let's say you walk outside and all the neighborhood kids are out there playing and you say, hey, kids, let's have a snack. And you use a different word. You'd use this word here, paideia, which is the word that would indicate all children, or you could even take it to mean students. Those of you who want to learn, I may not know you personally, says John, but listen up, because you need to know this. He says, and this is the Greek, if you translate it directly from the Greek, it says, the last hour it is. He says it here in the first sentence, and he says it here in the last sentence. The last hour it is, those of you who are Star Wars fans, you're already thinking about Yoda, and it does sound like that, but in Greek, when you say it like this, you're meaning, hey, this is serious. This is emphasis. This is something I want you to get. The last hour is now, is what he's saying. The Bible tells us there's the former age, that's the age back before Christ was born into our world. The present age is from the birth of Christ until the second coming of Christ. Oftentimes, you know, in the Bible, we'll call it the last hour because it's the last hour on this planet. Even though it's lasted 2,000 years, it's the last hour that people have to call upon the name of Christ. And then the future age is when Jesus returns. And that begins what we know as the future age. So when he says the last hour, he says we're in the midst of it. Listen up. The Antichrist. He tells us there is an Antichrist who will come someday. He is the ultimate Antichrist. He's the one that everybody talks about. Anti, by the way, doesn't mean against, which we think it does. I mean, like, use antifreeze, you do that to protect against freezing. And so we use the word anti kind of against, but it's not, that's not the word in Greek. The word is instead of. So anybody who chooses something else instead of Christ is an antichrist. But here we're talking about the antichrist for just a moment. By the way, just so you know this, we throw around the word antichrist like it's all over the Bible. It isn't. In fact, this is the only place in the Bible you'll find the term antichrist. Throughout the Bible, and I'll show you these quickly, in Daniel, this guy, the antichrist, we call him, is known as the prince who is to come. Jesus called him the abomination that causes desolation, using a term from Daniel's writings. Paul calls him the man of lawlessness. John, in another of his writings that you know well, the Revelation, calls him the beast out of the sea. So we get to talking about this Antichrist, and in fact, I think many of you are going, oh boy, we're talking about the second coming and the Antichrist. And I just want to say, no, we're not. No, that's not where we're headed. In fact, that's John's point here. John's point, I believe, is that everybody talks about the Antichrist. Yeah, he's coming someday, right. But what you got to worry about are the many Antichrists who are already in your church. There are many, many false believers and false teachers within the church. And John says, you've got to be sharp. You've got to be alert. They're there now. Now, a couple of things that are not in your notes, but I want to define for you. First of all, when I talk about the church, we have a tendency to think about buildings and steeples and so forth. In John's day, as he writes this, there is no such thing as a church building. It's never been one, hasn't been built. It'll be hundreds of years. Churches are meeting in houses. And so when you talk about the church, you're talking about the church body, maybe all the Christians in Ephesus, or all the Christians in southern Turkey, or wherever. Here we'd say in Fort Wayne. We're not talking about an individual church. It's just the body of Christ in Fort Wayne. In the body of Christ in Fort Wayne, there are false teachers and there are antichrists. That's what John's saying. Secondly, antichrist, as I already said, means instead of, but anybody who denies Christ, anybody who chooses anything but Christ is an antichrist. False teachers are the most dangerous. False teachers, over my many years here at Emmanuel, we've had multiple people who came into the church. They wanted positions of leadership or teaching. Eventually, for some of them, we gave it to them and then realized what we had done because they were teaching false things and we had to remove them. And when that happens, you have such conflict and kind of divisiveness in the church. It's tough. Now, another kind of antichrist is something John never had to deal with. A number of years ago, it started with radio and false teachers on the radio, and then TV, and then today the internet. And we have false teachers all over the place. So they're not just in the church body here locally, but we have access to them everywhere, and that's dangerous. One last thing. When I say antichrist, some of you are thinking, well, there's those who are really antichrist, and then there are those who are Christians. I'm not a Christian. Maybe some of you, you come to church just because you're a nice person and you want to be with your family or whatever, and you're just here on Sundays, and you go, well, I'm not a Christian, but I'm no antichrist. Let me show you something that's disturbing. Are you ready? Boom. There is no middle chair. Jesus says, whoever is not with me is against me. Whoever does not gather with me scatters. So you're either in this chair or you're in that chair. If you're a believer, you're a Christian. If you're not a believer, you're an antichrist because you've chosen something, at least at this point in your life, instead of Christ. How do we identify the antichrist? Well, John gives us three quick things. Number one, they depart. They don't stick around. I read this passage to you last week, or a few weeks ago, I guess, as kind of a joke just to show you how circular he can be. But if you really look at it, you realize that there's a group of people who leave. They go out. They don't continue. They go out. You see, that's what you'll find about false believers. They don't stay. If the people they attend with leave, they leave. If something happens that they don't like, they leave. They don't stick around. Secondly, they deny that Jesus is the Christ. By so doing, they also deny the Father. This, I don't think many cults understand. If you deny Jesus, you deny the Father. How? Well, today's Father's Day, right? And today's the day we kind of recognize those who have children. Maybe biological children or adopted children. They have children that they call their son or daughter. Now, if you take away the children, they're not a father. If you take away the son, and God obviously has no other children, he says. If you take away the son, you've taken away the father. You can't be a father without a child. And so they deny Christ. They don't realize by doing so, they also deny God. Thirdly, they deceive. John doesn't pull any punches here. John's such a nice, kind, easygoing guy. But right here, he gets a little angry. And he says, they're just liars. All they want to do is deceive you. Run. What is their deception? It's false teaching. They just twist what we know as our basic theology as Christians. They just twist it a little bit. It starts with a little bit of heresy. Happens in every church, by the way. And elders and pastors and so forth have to step in and say, hey, let's straighten this out. Because as soon as we start to get off, we'll get off big. So it starts with heresy, and then there's a group of people who go, you know, I agree with that. And then they become a sect, and pretty soon it becomes a cult. In John's day, as he's writing this, it's in the heresy sect stage. So it's just getting formed. The biggest thing that John's dealing with is a group of people called the Gnostics. Gnosis in Greek is the word knowledge. And there's this group of people who are just getting going. Later, they'll be one of the most powerful cults. But they're just getting started, and they're saying, you know, we know something that you don't know. You may be a Christian, but if you want to be a super Christian, then you have to know what we know, this special knowledge. And that's why John, you may wonder why he says this, but this is clear now. But you have been anointed by the Holy One, and you have all knowledge. You all have knowledge. You don't have to get somebody's false knowledge. Thirdly, just so that you know, they try to distort Christ in some form. They take the person of Jesus Christ and they try to distort him. How many cults are there? Hundreds, literally hundreds. I don't know of a cult that distorts the Father. I don't know of a cult that distorts the Holy Spirit. They all try to find ways to water down Jesus in some form, his person, his work, his nature. They'll water down Jesus. And John says, watch out, these people are dangerous. By the way, they're all over the radio, they're all over TV, they're all over the internet. And I imagine there are churches all over Fort Wayne. I just don't know them personally. Now, the third thing that John wants you to know, the first thing was, it's the hour, watch out, here they are. Second thing he wants you to know is, there are antichrists, here's how you find them, three things. And lastly, he says, I want you to also know there are true believers in the church. A lot of people, a lot of good people. How do you know them? How do you identify them? Well, first of all, unlike the antichrist, they stay. He keeps using the word abide. You probably saw it five times. They stay. They stick it out through thick and thin. They're part of the church body. They stay in the church body. Why? Because they've been anointed. The word anointing here does not mean baptism, although we show a baptism as a symbol. It means they've been filled with the Holy Spirit. So if you are a believer, you've already been filled with the Holy Spirit, and that will cause you to stay. Secondly, they confess Christ. No one who denies the Son has the Father. Whoever confesses the Son has the Father also. So they just confess Christ. They don't try to change who he is. They don't try to make up new things about him. They just confess him. Thirdly, they have the truth. Nothing to add. No more Bible books to write. I write to you not because you do not know the truth, but because you know it. By the way, this is, again, not in your notes, but this was helpful to me to think how clever his writing has been in this section. He says, antichrists are people who depart, deny, and deceive. Christians, on the other hand, notice just the opposite. Christians stay, they confess, and they have the truth. So it's pretty easy to figure out who's who. Bottom line. Oftentimes when I preach to you, I'll come to the end of a sermon and the last part of the notes, I'll use this title, Lessons We Learn. Today I don't have to because John did this. This is unusual for John. John says, everything I just said may seem wordy. Yes, John, it does. But let me boil it down for you, just a few thoughts. I love this, by the way. This is so helpful. Listen, I write these things to you about those who are trying to deceive you. But the anointing that you receive from him abides in you, and you have no need that anyone should teach you. But as his anointing teaches you about everything and is true and is no lie, just as it has taught you, abide in him. Point one. Here's what I said John. First of all, I told you, watch out. There are people who are deceptive even in the church body. Watch out for them. Secondly, if you've committed your life to Christ, you're sitting here this morning, you've committed your life to Christ, then you already have his anointing. You have the Holy Spirit. Now, I'm just going to be honest with you here. There are some groups, even groups, who are Christian denominations and groups who will tell you, well, when you became a Christian, you got some of the Holy Spirit. But if you do this, you'll get the rest of the Holy Spirit. False teaching, false teaching. When you became a Christian, you got all of the Holy Spirit at the same moment, and you never get any more. And from that moment, he abides in you. Isn't it interesting? He keeps telling us to abide in Christ, but then he says, by the way, the Holy Spirit abides in you too, so you abide in one another. You don't need any more of the Holy Spirit. When you became a Christian, you got all of the Holy Spirit. Now, many of us are not yielding to the Holy Spirit as much as we should, and so we yield in different levels to the Holy Spirit. We listen, I could say, in different ways, but we all have all of the Holy Spirit. You've been anointed, says John. Thirdly, you have no need for new teaching. You don't need a teacher, he says. You don't need a teacher. Now, I'm like, hold it. You know, Pastor Josh sends me an email and says, hey, some months down the road, can you preach for me on this date and this text? And I write back, yes, I'd be happy to do that. And then I go get my commentaries because they're my teachers. And then I work through that and then I teach you. We all need teachers. What's he saying here? You don't need anyone to teach you about Jesus. You've had him live within you all these years that you followed him. Ladies, let's say you're on the Amazon website this week and you're doing some shopping, whatever, I don't know whatever site you use, but we'll just say that. And up comes an ad for a new book that's just been released. The new book is about your husband. I mean, not just husbands, your specific husband, his picture, his name on the cover. Everything you want to know about your husband. None of you would buy it. You'd say, I don't need that book. I've lived with him for years. I could write that book. I know him. Oh, that's exactly what John is saying. You don't need anybody to teach you about Jesus. You've been living with him. You need no new information about Jesus. And you have no need that anyone should teach you, but as his anointing teaches you about everything, you have him within you in his anointing, you have all you need. Number four. Oh, no, before I do that, I want to show you something that this was like an aha to me this week. I thought about Jeremiah, and I thought what Jeremiah said to us about the future. And he said these words, and no longer shall each one teach his neighbor and each his brother, saying, know the Lord, for they shall all know me, from the least to the greatest, declares the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquities, and I will remember their sins no more. There's coming a time you won't need a teacher. This is that time, says John. Lastly, it closes by saying, relax. Five times he says, abide. He abides in you, you should abide in him. Relax. Don't be afraid of false teachers, but watch out for them. You're wanting for nothing. You have the Holy Spirit. You have his presence. Just be cautious. Just be watching. Relax. I'd like to close by giving you just a few moments to be quiet before the Lord. Is there something that was said either by me or maybe by the Holy Spirit to you in person here very privately today that you just need to think about or pray about? Is there something you'd like to do and maybe reviewing the text? Read it one more time. I'm going to give you a few moments to do that. Our Father in heaven, we praise your holy name. We worship you as our God, our Father. We thank you for the many gifts you've given us, but particularly for that gift of your Son, Jesus Christ, for the anointing that each of us who know you have through your Holy Spirit. We thank you for the joy that comes with our salvation. Father, I thank you for the warning and the reminder today about those who are teaching falsely, and I pray that you would give us each a special sensitivity to that. And I pray, Father, that you would help us to sense that within us is the Holy Spirit, and he is abiding in us as we abide in him. Father, help us to sense that presence throughout this week. Help us to honor you with our lives, with our words. For it's in your holy name that we pray. Amen.